Technorama interview with Marlene Forte.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, my wife sent me to the store to pick up some milk and free-range zombie. You got any?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and Craig Stepp will be joining me just a moment through the magic of post-production editing. We are thrilled to have with us today Marlene Forte from Fear the Walking Dead. Marlene plays Celia Flores, the antagonist at the end of Season 2's mid-season break. Her IMDb sheet reads like a Hollywood who's who of shows and TVs and movies and stuff. So without further delay, let's shuffle off to Marlene Forte land. Hi, Marlene. This is Chuck and Craig from Technorama. How are you today?
Hey there.
I'm well. Hi there. How are you? Let me just get the news off so we can hear each other.
We don't need no news.
Hold on. Yeah. We don't need no stinky news.
No, that's right. None of it's any good anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You're
Let's
not
see.
Kidding, man.
Trump, Clinton, Middle
going
East.
Back to the apocalypse.
Yeah. That's probably better news than what you're...
I think I'm better off with the dead people.
I think so, too. Wow. Well, you know, if one of those two gets elected, we could be looking at that apocalypse soon.
Oh, you are not kidding me, man. I'm going back to Cuba. I got my Cuban passport ready. I may be deported, so I
Oh, no, no.
I better make sure my papers are in order.
I love this interview already.
Right.
Well, you did a great lead in there, Marlene. No, not at all. Oh my goodness. This is the weekend of Phoenix Comic Con, and we are just getting this left and right as well. So it's fun.
Awesome.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun. You gave a great lead in there, Marlene. Tell us your story. You mentioned Cuba, so bring us up to speed. Who is Marlene Forte?
Well, I was born in Cuba and raised in Jersey. I'm a Jersey kid, really. Kind of bridge and tunnel. We landed. My father was a Cuban that had no plans on ever going back. He named us all after actors. He liked big bands and Frank Sinatra. And we landed in New York, not Florida. He wanted to get as far. I think if we had had anybody living in L.A., I would have ended up in L.A. earlier. He just wanted to get as far away from those 90 miles as he could. And I grew up in New York until I'm a bridge and tunnel kid, Hudson River kid. And once we started school, my mother's intense fear of the public school system in New York brought us across the river to Jersey. And I did all my education in Jersey and started my acting career in Jersey, in Peterborough. I did I'm completely bilingual, so that has been a very good thing in my career.
Yeah, what
a
great
asset. Spanish television.
Yeah,
and I never stopped after that. I got married young. I was, I'm the oldest of three girls, the only one that was born in Cuba. My other sisters were born here. And so I got married, right out of college. I did the good Cuban Catholic girl thing. I got married my high school sweetheart, went to school, was going to become a lawyer or a teacher, not an actor. And just as I got out of college, I thought, Giselle's dad was becoming a heart surgeon, and he did, and I wanted to become an actor, and I did, but my marriage failed. So we were very good friends. My daughter is still my best production to date. She's started acting now. She's a producer for WME in New York,
and
she's doing fantastic. Yeah, and I headed west when she started college, and I started my acting career very lucky. I got very lucky. There was this a little theater company that was starting off. It was in Tart. It was one of the Latin into theater companies in Manhattan on 42nd Street. And they were going to start a Latinos actors base. And I auditioned for them. And that later on became Labyrinth. And I learned acting from Philip Seymour Hoffman and Sam Rockwell and John Ortiz and David Zayas. And these are my co-acting buddies. So I was in very good company and very good hands. And, you know, all 12 of us that started that crazy company back then, we're doing okay. we started something. And then I came out with a job. I started doing comedy. I came out with my wife and kids, actually. I was the first nanny on My Wife and Kids, and I got replaced three episodes. And I was so in over my head. I'm a Jersey kid who studied acting, did not study acting. I was a teacher in undergrad, and I got replaced very quickly, I stayed. I just stayed. I just said, you know, this is what I wanted to do since I was 10, and the weather's better out here, and my daughter was starting her life in college, and that's the rest of history. I'm a very tenacious and stubborn woman. I would not go home.
Right.
Follow your dreams.
Follow your dreams. So you have quite a wide range of roles that we saw on your IMDb listing. What sort of roles do you gravitate to?
Oh, well, I gravitate to Celia Flores, but I don't get to play them much. I've played a lot of moms.
Oh, bless you.
Don't drink, boss. I've played a lot of moms in my career, and I always say that, of course I did, because I've been a mom more than I haven't been. I was a mom at 19. You know, I was a very young mom. So
sure.
I guess that's my impulse, my instincts is to be a mom, because I've done that more than anything else on the planet at this point in my life. This mom was a little different. I'm usually weeping or, you know, very either very funny, quirky mom or very weepy, sad mom over some dead thing. Weeping over my son's dead, my husband's dead, you know, procedurals, they're all kind of the same. But then The Walking Dead came into existence.
Yeah, and your character there does weep a bit, but not for what we'd think she should be weeping for.
No, different things that bring sadness to Celia's eyes. this, you know, AMC, man, I got to put my hands off to them, because even in The Walking Dead, and I do believe that Sons of Anarchy was on AMC too, right? I mean, these are shows that have these amazing female characters,
sure,
and amazing multicultural cast, which looks like America, you know? My hat's off to them for the writing and for the courage to not be, you know, to not be put in that TV procedural kind of same kind of thing that gets, you know, and look, I've done them all. I've done all the CSIs. I've done all the Law and Orders. I've done them all. And they, God, I'm very grateful for them. They've given me a career, but boring after a while for an actor, you know, and then you get something like this that you can just, it's like doing theater, even rehearsing those scenes. It was like we were rehearsing a play, you know. It was wonderful to work with these guys. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and I got to tell you, this has been one of the most fun things I've ever done.
And she's been, Celia is such an in-depth character, too, because you've got, on the front end, you've got a nice, cordial hospitality. You know, she invites you in, and here, have some nice, cool water. And well, with Walking Dead, that's just a red flag right there.
Yeah,
anybody who's nice to you in this.
When somebody's opening, when somebody's welcoming you with open arms and water, be careful.
Losing a knife in one hand, one hand, and a hug on the other.
Yeah,
but it practically is a knife on the other. The how much of Marlene is in the Celia character?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, there's a little bit of me in all my characters, right? I think that's what's going to make us different, mm-hmm, or me different. You know, the words on the page, they're the same words. The actors walk in, and we all say the same words that are on the page. So what? Why does one actor get it and the other not? At this point, if you're in the game, you've got a representation, you're a decent actor, you wouldn't be in the room. And I think for an actor, and I always tell my young actors that I coach or whatever, is that, you know, find your uniqueness, your thing, because that's what's going to book the job. So, again, the mom side of Celia is what I've done, and it's what my instinct, and I always, it also humanizes a character. Everybody is a father or a mother, maybe, you know, some, not everybody gives birth, but most people have a father and a mother, and that's the very human side of Celia. And then the other side is really, it's also Mama Bear. You know, she is protecting and mothering these people. And in her mind, there's nothing wrong with her. What she's doing is all very loving and coming from a very loving place in her head.
yeah.
So you have to kind of, for me, I have to kind of humanize a character no matter what it is. And then I start from that point on. And we all know that human beings have the yin yang, and just as wonderful things that we can do in the planet, we can also destroy it. So you just go, and that's the fun part of an actor, right? Playing that pendulum swing from goodness to something that is not human.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's kind of that, but, you know, I also said jokingly, I said, well, somebody else asked me, you know, where did she come from? I said, well, I think she might be my mother. you know, my mother had that ability to look through you and said, you're lying. You are lying. I can see right through you. Like, she could see through Daniel, and she could see through Nick when he walked through the door, and she could just,
yeah,
you need help, you don't, your mother sucks, your mother doesn't suck, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that statement, you have a heavy smile, it's like, wow, she's got some insight that we're just not picking up. So kudos to the writers, and kudos for you on execution on that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, these writers are fun to work with, and they're no joke, you know, their script is there, and it's written, there's no improving, you know, none of that stuff goes on. It is, and that's the other thing. I am a bilingual actress, and in my years of acting, many, many times we get handed an English script, which is by the way, in parentheses, against the union rules, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And then they say, "Can you say it in Spanish?"
No, I'm just kidding.
I just did.
Crazy.
No.
I'm like, yes, I can say it in Spanish, but I am married to a writer. Hire him to translate it, and then I'll give it to you in Spanish.
That's kind of
the chain of command. It doesn't happen a lot, but these guys wrote this character bilingually from the region that she's from, which is another thing. You know, we have a plethora of accents in Latin America,
mm-hmm.
Caribbean accents, mm-hmm. Colombians sound different than Dominicans. So
yeah.
If you and me as a Latina actress, those things are important. I don't want to do a generic accent. You know, I, being a Cuban American, would like it if I was playing a Cuban American to sound like a Cuban American or a Mexican or wherever you're from. So it was written like that. It was written in that rhythm. It was, you know, just to be handed that stuff and going, oh my God, maybe we are moving along in the right direction.
Yeah, that's got to be refreshing.
You know, it was so much fun to work on this show, guys. I never thought at this point, I'm like, I've done it all. I'm kind of jaded and a little like, but this thing, I don't want Celia to die.
But yeah, Craig, cast the line. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. I'm fishing for a little spoiler here, but do you think we'll be seeing more of Celia?
I have no idea. I have no idea. This is how they keep it. They don't let us know anything on that set until they hand us the script. And let me tell you, they pull the scripts from you once we finish shooting. I mean,
really?
It is top secret to work on. Oh, yeah. Even the audition process, my name was different. My name on the audition process was Carmen, which I was like, I'm wondering if they did that because I played Carmen on Dallas. And I was like, oh, God, don't tell me it's going to be another Carmen. But it's just these guys, you know, they are ready and they know when they hand you something and they're going to. They just know how to protect their brand and how to really create excitement, not only to the audience, but to us, to the people that are working for the show, because you're like, oh, my God, I got to register for theater or Walking Dead. It's any one of those shows, you know, we freak out about.
Sure.
Well, how do you handle that from a scheduling standpoint? I mean, shooting has to resume pretty soon now for the second half. How do you?
They just finished.
Oh, they just
we finished.
Just finished okay.
The first season. Yeah. So they take a break now, and I think they come back after the summer. start up again for season three. So scheduling, you know, TV scheduling is just, I make a living on television, so I'm already used to the schedule, and more than me, it's my family that has to get used to the schedule. My husband,
yeah.
Who I left at gates at airports after being checked in. I'm like, okay, honey, love you. I got to say. So it's, I think it's harder on the family than on the actor. We're kind of used to it. You know, it's funny because just Sel's dad is a doctor. And my daughter loves to say, you guys have the same schedule. It's like you're always on call. Dad goes to save a life. You go to create a life. I mean, it's kind of very odd. But, yeah, the scheduling, I think, is harder on your family than on an actor. We love what we do, and I'm just... I want that phone call to, you know, I want that phone to ring and say, hey, you're getting on a plane tomorrow and you're going to Portland to go shoot the librarians. And I'm like, okay.
There you go.
Cool. So do you prefer playing the antagonist character like Celia?
Oh, yes. Oh, please. What can you get away? I can get away with just any amount of crazy things on TV, and you can't do that in life. I'd be in jail.
That's true. That's a good point, actually.
The things that you get away with on TV.
Well, okay, this is
a lot more fun to play the antagonist.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So I gotta ask you this question. I don't know why this just popped in my head, but how do you imagine in the world of The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, how they celebrate Day of the Dead?
Oh, it's Christmas. Let's see. How would Celia do this? It would be her Christmas. It would be her Easter.
She'd be giving presents at the jail cell bars.
Would be a little difficult. You know, shooting those poor puppies down that chute. I don't know how I would set the table, but that would be the trick, huh?
Yeah.
I think that would be, it's interesting that you say that too, because even going to Mexico creates a whole other different thing when it comes to dealing with our dead, right? Because in Mexico, culturally, the dead are not, I mean, you know, I live right off of Western down there by Palos Verdes, and there is this beautiful cemetery there, and there's a lot of Latinos down there. And let me tell you, come Veterans Day, come weekends, they are out there picnicking with their family, and they talk to their dead. We don't think it's a finale. It is just the next. When she says it is what comes next, it is the next step. And when she says they've always been among us, now we can see them, that's what she believes. Like, oh my God, now we can actually see what comes next. And, you know, it's like I always create a whole backstory for my character. And in my head, Celia's not too sure what's going on, but they're not dead to her. And that's why she's kind of collecting them, because, of course, she's not. Look, she feeds them through a chute. She knows she has to watch herself from these people, right?
Right.
From this next step. But in my head, and Marlene decided that Celia is just trying to figure this out also. But she will not turn these people away. She's not afraid of them because she is not afraid of the death. And
well, that's
a good
point.
And the owl and all that stuff.
Yeah, that
so I think
reduces
in her head,
the...
Just,
go ahead.
Yeah. I think she's just, again, trying to figure this out. And in the meantime, keeping them in some sort of control, you know. And she's figured out if I can feed them animals or whatever, I can keep them from eating each other or eating me maybe, you know. I mean... I don't know. I think Celia's trying to figure it out too, just like she is. I think her faith is what's leading her to do this, which is her faith in Santa Muerte and all that type of stuff. But I'm not sure she has all the answers either. Well, and it's also boring to pay someone who has all the answers, right?
That's a great point that you bring up that I don't think most Americans would recognize, is there is that cultural difference. At first, we look at this and go, Celia's gone off the deep end. She thinks right. They're not dead, but we don't recognize that, you know, that the dead are perceived differently in Latin cultures. So it's not that far of a stretch. I think that's brilliant. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, me? And I think you're going to see a little more of that in the future. I think they're very smart, our writers, and I think that they, I mean, even think about it, even in our times that we're living with this whole, you know, Donald Trump built the wall, blah, 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 and now it's ironic in the apocalypse, we're trying to get into Mexico instead of out. That's you right. know, they're not coming here, we're trying to get down there. So I think if the, I'm not sure if they did it on purpose, or, which I would say yes, because they're that brilliant, I think, but it's just a kind of an interesting switch of rules. You know, you're switching the rules a little bit here. What happens in the apocalypse, and what happens if we do need to come down there? I think Independence Day, or one of those big flood movies, did it once too, right? Where everything is frozen or in underwater from the north, and everyone's trying to hydrate. You know, I mean, yeah. We don't think about this, but we're on the same continent. What if we have to go over that way for some reason? The wall's yeah. not going to work.
Let's invade Canada. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. We could put up a wall there too.
That's right.
Keep ourselves in a compound.
Marlene, what?
It doesn't work in the Walking Dead either. We have to work together.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's a good message that we should all take anyway. Zombies or not, we need to all work together. What projects do you have in the pipeline right now?
Well, I have a couple of state readings, plays that I will be doing live in Hollywood. I'm going to be doing an adaptation of Blood Wedding called Blood Match, which is very interesting. It's a modern adaptation. It takes place in just across the river, actually probably where we were shooting up in Ensenada. And instead of grapes, they're harvesting poppies. So it's more drug dealing things, and it's a wonderful, wonderful modern adaptation that Oliver Mayer did, and I'll be doing that. And I also am working on an animation thing called La Golda, like goal, like soccer goal, Golda, which is a play on words, because it's also a when you say to somebody, "Oh, you're my little Golda," it's an a term of endearment in Spanish, like "You're my little girl," or "You're my boo," my best friend. Mm-hmm. And it's about foster kids, and one little girl in particular, the Golda, and she, you know, we actually play them in the school system here in LA, and it deals with racism and divorce, and you know, it's for the kids, so it's for middle school and grammar school kids to kind of get introduced to adult issues through this little girl and these orphans. It's like I call them the modern Little Rascals, and it's an animation film called La Golda, so I'm working on that. And as we speak, I'm going to, when I get off the phone, I'm going to go and audition for The Librarian. So I'm just, this is my working season right now. Fear is in hiatus, and I need a job.
Oh, we appreciate you giving us your time then. Thank you very much.
So where can the listener go to find out more about you, Marlene, and keep up with what you're doing?
Well, I do have a website, marlene.com, marleneforte.com, and that is really the best way to contact me, and you can email me through there, and at marleneforte is my Twitter, and I have an Instagram, so, you know, just Facebook page, normal social media stream, which I am also learning to do. Celia is from another time, and so is Marlene. I'm learning, and I've come... Like, she's evolving, Marlene is evolving, and I'm learning to do that. It is a different world. I've been doing this for 20 years, and, you know, back in the day, man, we just took our headshots and dropped them in a milk crate. It's very different now. Everything's electronic and instant, and it's a brave new world for us older actors.
There's pluses and minuses to both approaches.
I agree. I do enjoy, listen, I don't have to spend any money on headshots anymore. And the ease of things are much, much more convenient. But the ease of things also scares me. That was too easy.
Once again, thank you very much for your time. It has been a treat and a pleasure. I hope we get to talk again in the future.
Oh, I hope so too, you guys. Thank you for what you do.
Best of luck with the roles and the auditions.
Thank you, darling. Right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right. Bye now.
Once again, special thanks to Marlene Forte. She was a lot of fun to talk to, and we look forward to hearing more from her in the future. If you like this special, consider subscribing to our show. Just go to your favorite podcast client, like iTunes, and search for Technorama. You can find more about us on our website at chuckchat.com/technorama, where you'll find links to Facebook and Twitter and everything else we get up to. Special thanks to our Patreon patrons for helping make this happen. If you feel this was entertaining or somewhat educational, consider joining at patreon.com/technoramapodcast and get extra content exclusive to our patrons. We'd love to hear from you on the Technorama listener line at 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. Leave your comments and we might just play them on the show. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and we'll send you home with a bright, shiny, new zombie binary high five. 101.